You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Blue Wire.
The Arizona Cardinals select Kyler Murray.
And the 2019 Offensive Rookie of the Year is Kyler Murray.
This year's most valuable player, Lamar Jackson.
Jackson takes it himself. Look at him dart back and forth. Oh, he broke his ankles. He is Houdini.
Touchdown, Patrick Mahomes with a rope.
Chiefs are Super Bowl champions here in Miami.
All right, guys, welcome back to the Establish the Pass podcast, presented by Clutch Points and our friends at Bet Online. I am your host, Blake Lovell. With me is my co-host, Dylan Reagan. And we are back for part four, and yes, the final edition of our 2020 NFL mock draft. We started this, a couple weeks ago now with our first eight picks, and then we advanced eight picks from there. And now that has led us to start things off with the number 25 pick here in part four. As always, if you haven't listened to the previous episodes in this mock draft, probably a good idea to go back and listen to those first before you pick up right here with number 25. But we did start with Dylan getting the number one pick for the Cincinnati Bengals. He selected Joe Burrow. From there, we've alternated picks, and that does lead us to the number 25 pick. And Dylan, we look at the board here as we get ready to round out the first round, and we don't have any trades here. We do have one that involved a trade earlier in the draft, and we'll get to that here in a minute, but it seems like this portion of the draft, although we're not making any trades, we have identified a few teams that we could potentially see maybe trade out of their spots and not necessarily trade up, but could potentially trade back.
Yeah, I think we'll start off with the Vikings here at 25. I think they're one that is probably going to stay in this range. We in the last draft, I won't give away in the last episode who you took with their first-round pick exactly, but it was a wide receiver. I think their biggest needs, obviously, to get a receiver out of this really deep class as well as a cornerback. So I think they're going to stay with the 25 pick. But, yeah, other than that, I mean, you can see a lot of these teams. I mean, in general, I think given the nature of this draft with everyone being remote and all the kind of not really the same buildup as it usually is in terms of, you know, all the people in the draft room and all the group think is kind of the one thing you've kind of seen teams talk about. They're happy they're able to avoid that by this kind of limited contact. But I think that makes it more unpredictable for us to think about trades that could happen in this range. I wouldn't be surprised. I think we'll get to a couple teams that we considered trading back. But at this point, I mean, apart from, you know, knowing what the teams need, guessing where they're going to, address those needs is really kind of difficult at this point, but we'll do our best to look at what we think are at least the best picks in these scenarios.
Yep, and we will start, like you said, with the Vikings here at 25. You hinted at it. We did go receiver with the 22 pick, and so now, obviously, they're not going to take another receiver here at 25, but may wind up addressing the other side of the ball there in Minnesota.
Yeah, so definitely in terms of when I think about the Vikings, what they need, a cornerback after the receiver, as I just mentioned, is where I think they'll go. Obviously, early in the draft, we had at least three corners, I believe, have gone off the board. Ekuda, pretty early on, we had C.J. Henderson and also Jeff Gladney from TCU. So at this point, there's still a lot of good options. A couple guys I considered for this spot that may or may not go later in our drafts are Christian Fulton and AJ Terrell. Both kind of fit the bill in this exact range and what they're able to do. I think they definitely would make a lot of sense. AJ Terrell, insanely fast as well, bigger corner. So I think that could have been an intriguing option. After considering it, I kind of went back and forth between him and the guy I ultimately picked, which is Trayvon Diggs, which will be a lot of fun in terms of it being Stephon Diggs' brother with the Vikings, with his old franchise. But I think just between the two, I mean, yeah, he missed a lot of games as a junior, but his last year at Alabama, really just such a star, a similar big cornerback that I think can do a lot of the same things that Terrell can. I just between the two, I feel like if I had to choose one for myself, I mean, you can tell if you've listened to this whole throughout this podcast, both of us kind of tend to go with Alabama guys. We're, you know, thinking like John Gruden and Mike Mayock here, just Alabama all the way. But nonetheless, I think Diggs will be a great fit for the Vikings as long as he doesn't hold it against the franchise with what happened with his brother.
Yeah, that could be something there. You want to talk about storylines. That would be a fun storyline for sure when you talk about that being a potential pick. But yeah, the Vikings, as we said, I mean, I think the Vikings are a team that, you know, if they address the wide receiver spot with that first pick, they really don't have a lot to lose, I think, with the second pick. And they, you know, I mean, look, we're looking at the talent on this board. Like, you and I, like, I'm going to talk about somebody in a second wondering how in the world he got to the spot that he's going to be in where I'm going to take him. And it's like, that shows you, like, there's a lot of talent. I know we say this every year with the draft, but like, there's a lot of talent in here. And for these teams that have, you know, these two first-round picks, the 49ers ultimately didn't wind up having two in our draft because we traded one of them. But I still think it's a situation where the Vikings are in a good spot getting those two picks, especially so close together. But they have options, too, where if they wanted to trade up, let's say, and land one of those elite wide receivers earlier, and that's not to say the one they took at 22 wasn't elite, but they have options, and that's what you want to have entering the draft. But speaking of options, no team has more options in this draft than the Miami Dolphins, who are the number 26 pick. And I was saying this to you before we started recording. I mean, if you're the Dolphins here, like, you just might as well swing and swing as, you know, hard as you can, because you're really, at this point, like, I don't know if you're the Dolphins, you're really going to be looking at it and saying, well, this guy's a huge reach. Because you have so many picks and you have so many opportunities with what you could do here. We know earlier in our draft, the Dolphins did trade up to number 3, and they selected Tua Tagovailoa. They traded with the Lions, and, you know, the Dolphins did give up one of their picks, but here they are still with another one and have an opportunity to address, I think, another need. And that brings us to a very interesting selection here. And I did look at offensive tackle and I thought, okay, well, if they traded that other pick in our draft, that means, you know, we're going to give an opportunity here to select a lineman. You've got Tua, you know, you've got opportunities there to, you want to protect him. We understand that. And I also looked and said, okay, well, maybe, you know, they go on the other side of the ball, but I actually think the Dolphins are probably in better shape on the defensive side versus the offensive side. So everybody hates the running back right now, right? No one wants to pay running backs. No one wants to take a chance on the running backs. But if I'm the Dolphins and I've got a gazillion picks in this draft, I don't think that this guy is going to be there at their next pick, which I think would be number 39. So not too far in the second round, but I don't think he's going to be there. There would be another running back that I think would be very intriguing in this spot, and that's Jonathan Taylor. So maybe they could wait and get him at 39, although, again, I don't know that he would be there. So instead, I'm going to stick with DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia, here at number 26. I think he's someone that you can, you know, you pair him with Tua, all of a sudden you've got a quarterback for the future, you've got a running back for the future, and you can go out now knowing that, let's say again, if they were to, you know, keep one of those picks that we didn't wind up trading, they probably would have already addressed the offensive line with one of those earlier picks. So I'll take a running back here, and knowing that they have another pick coming up, you know, in the next 13 spots, then they can go after another offensive lineman or however they want to do it.
Yeah, I had no idea that was the direction you were going to go beforehand. Yep. I think getting Swift, there's a few other teams, like you mentioned, that might have probably taken him before that. 39th selection. So in terms of, like you said, they can afford, unlike some teams, maybe to kind of take a gamble a bit and draft a little above their spot. If Josh Jones has still been available, maybe they would have gone that direction. I still think there's some really good offensive tackles. Austin Jackson from USC is one that you're seeing more and more lately going in first-round mocks that I thought maybe you would have considered here. He still could be there at 39, though. So they definitely have a lot more flexibility in the spot and have another second-round pick later in the second round, too. There's so many different things the Dolphins can do. And to add, I mean, there's no question, whenever we talk about running backs on the show in terms of their value and all that, obviously, yeah, these guys are still special and they still can do some pretty incredible things. And I think DeAndre Swift there in Miami, we've seen some of the really talented running backs they've had in the past that are now excelling in other franchises. Hopefully this year, I still think offensive line may have been the pick I would have gone with. But as we're saying, they still have got a couple more selections down the line. There's still other running backs that, you know, Dobbins and as you mentioned, Jonathan Taylor, that could go in this range that may have been there at 39. But I think there's enough offensive tackles, quality guys that still are going to be there at 39. So getting Swift now definitely will be exciting to have that combination of him and Tua for SEC fans down in Miami.
Yep, there you go. So the SEC combination, and I don't know. Like you said, it's probably offensive line would be the way they'd go, but I would probably look at it and say if they were still in that spot at number 18, I think they probably would have taken someone like Josh Jones there. You mentioned that, but because we traded it, I think maybe waiting and they could get another one of these really good offensive linemen at 39. Maybe you take a chance on DeAndre Swift here and add another playmaker to your offense. But that brings the number 27, the Seattle Seahawks. Not so exciting. And I think as we've noted, the Seahawks seemingly trade back every single year in the draft, and maybe it wouldn't be surprising to see them make a move here to move back. But they've got options too, as they've got several areas of need. And when you see them connected to, you know, Leonard Fournette and all this other stuff, we don't know if that's actually going to happen. But they're one of many teams being connected there to maybe landing Leonard Fournette. But the Seahawks do have options, and not as many as the Dolphins, but they are on the board here at number 27.
Yeah, the two biggest needs for me when I think of Seattle, still a team that even if, you know, at times we've talked about how it would make a lot more sense for them to just let Russell Wilson do his thing and kind of take over games. But this team is still a very run first operation. And I think their interior offensive line could use some work. So that's one spot that I'm considering as I make this pick here. This one's going to come down to the buzzer right at the wire, where they're going to have a discussion between that and edge rusher. I mean, if they had signed Clowney by now, maybe this would be an easier decision for me. But the fact that that's still, I don't know if depending on how many days a week you wait, you'll see a report saying it's looking like Seattle. Then there's no way it's Seattle. So it's tough for me to look at that and think for sure they're going to have him in place. So there's a couple guys I'm considering for that spot, in addition to one I've written on our doc that Blake can see here, that and a lot of mock drafts has gotten earlier. There's another guy, Julian Okwara from Notre Dame, that I've considered here as well. Another great edge rusher that could fit in really well. Yep. So the two picks I'm thinking of to just make it so I'm no longer just alluding to something. But I'm going between Jack Bond from Wisconsin, the outside linebacker and pass rusher that has drawn a lot of comparisons to some kind of Kyle Van Noy kind of situation. So I'm not sure if that's where they're going to go. I still think the better option here is going to be the pick I'm going to go with, which is Cesar Ruiz from Michigan, the top ranked center in most on draft rankings. And I think for what they need, since they made the Jimmy Grant trade and got rid of their center in that deal, it really just haven't had a guy to really lock down the middle of their offensive line. And I think there's just other opportunities for them a bit later in this draft. They have, after this, the 59th pick. They might be able to trade up from that. They have a 64th as well. So maybe they'll be able to get an outside linebacker. Maybe they'll still figure out the Clowney deal. But I think for what they still need to address pass rusher. So I'm not totally confident about this pick. But overall, I still think they needed help in the interior of the line. I think Cesar Ruiz is a safer selection here for Seattle at 27.
There you go. So another lineman. We continue the theme here. And maybe the Dolphins, you know, wind up regretting that there at number 26, not taking them themselves. We've said it. Offensive line, wide receiver, like these are the two that we keep going back to in this draft. And it's something that we're going to see a lot of probably. And there's, you know, no doubt that the teams are going to load up on these guys, knowing that there's so many good guys at these two positions in this draft. And so add the Seahawks to the mix when it comes to teams that are looking at someone else on the line there. But speaking of online, Bet Online, they continue to be the driving force here of the podcast. And while there's currently no NBA, NHL, or MLB going on, we continue to remind you that you may think there's nothing to bet on, but you would be wrong. And that's because our exclusive partner, BetOnline, still has hundreds of events, games, and props to wager on. They've got their online casino with blackjack and poker, and they are bringing Vegas to you if you're missing the NFL. No problem at all, because BetOnline now has the live daily Madden NFL 20 simulations you can bet on. Plus, you can still bet on Survivor, Big Brother, American Idol, the stock prices, and even Nathan's hot dog eating contest. And you can do it 24 hours a day because they're all open 24 hours a day, all online. All you got to do is use the promo code BLUEWIRE, all one word, BLUEWIRE, to join today and receive your new welcome bonus. That is BetOnline, your online wagering solution. All right, that brings us to number 28. The Baltimore Ravens are on the board here. And as I mentioned in our previous episode, with some of the picks I made, if I'm the Ravens and I'm seeing the board ahead of me, and I see that this guy is still available, I am running to the Microsoft Surface or whatever, you know, I'm using maybe John Lynch's setup. I know that's gotten a lot of talk today. He's got about 14 different screens in his office. I am pushing the button as quickly as possible to make the selection of Kenneth Murray, the linebacker from Oklahoma. He's one of these guys that we talk about. I don't know how he would get to this spot, but somehow in our draft, the way that it's shaked out, he has gotten here. And probably because of the Saints selected Patrick Queen at number 24. And if not, I think they probably would have taken Murray there. But two linebackers here that are really, really good. We mentioned Queen. And now for Murray, I think this is a perfect pick for the Ravens. And if he were to be at this spot, I think it's an absolute no-brainer.
Yeah, it's an easy pick, like you're saying. I you know, looking back, if we redrafted a second mock draft, if we went through multiple of these, we may have addressed this a little bit earlier. For the Ravens to be able to not have to trade up for someone like Murray is, when we talked about the Patrick Queen pick, we obviously mentioned Murray as the other linebacker that is, right up there. So in terms of, for their sake, I know for a fact for me, he's a guy that I considered earlier in the draft with the Eagles at 21. And I would have been happy to take with one of my last picks here coming up. But nonetheless, a really great get for a Ravens team that, doing a lot of transitioning on defense. They did it kind of well on the fly last year. There's still some things. And I think interior linebacker. And the thing about Kenneth Murray, with his speed and his ability, I think he can play pretty much any linebacker spot that you want to put him in. He does everything so well. Just the total package. So, a real A-plus pick, I think, by you, Blake, here for the Ravens.
Well, there you go. Another A-plus pick for me. Chalk it up. One of many here in this draft. But no, like we said, it's just, I think with the way our draft, and it would be fun, to have that redraft, because I think there are probably a lot of different spots. And we'll talk a little bit about that on Wednesday's episode, because we will have three episodes this week. We have this one, of course, and then we'll kind of give some predictions and look back on our full mock draft in the next episode, and then we'll have our thoughts on the first round after it happens. This is one of those where there are going to be several guys we're going to look back on and say, how did this guy get to the spot? And I think there's going to be another one we're going to talk about here in a minute. Just a complete easy choice for the Ravens here. You get an elite linebacker, and no doubt that the Ravens would take him rather quickly. Number 28. That brings to number 29, the Tennessee Titans, the new face of the Establish the Pass podcast, after I railed on them all season long about their inconsistency and saying that I never trust them, and then they get one win away from the Super Bowl. So now here they are at number 29 spot, and we teased it a little bit. I think the Titans, Dylan, are a team that could very well trade down because they don't have a lot of picks, and I could see them giving up this 29 spot depending on who's there. Again, if one of these guys has fell to this point that they absolutely love, they'll stay there and take him. But we're not going to make a trade, but I would not be shocked at all if the Titans were to trade down to try to pick up some more picks, or they just don't have a ton in this draft right now.
Yeah, that it could make sense. And like you said, this is one of the teams that before the episode we kind of previewed possibly doing a trade with. It made sense in terms of the needs that they have for me, and like you're saying, the amount of picks they have. If they're able to, you know, not fall back too far and pick up an additional pick, it would help them address their needs, which are all for me on really at this point on the defensive side of the ball. A team that, and not one of the, they're in the bottom third of the league in pass defense DVOA. A big reason for it, and it did, I mean, their secondary itself is not terrible, but they just did not generate that much of a pass rush most of the season. And so that, I, you know, in terms of, they really need help all along the defensive line. So like you're saying, maybe they could trade back and still get a guy like Jordan Elliott, and they, you know, to be a defensive tackle. But the, in terms of where I'm going to go, yeah, edge rusher, this is a, not an uncommon selection in terms of this guy being connected to the Titans, and that's Yeter Gross Matos from Penn State.
Yep.
Yes, they pick up Vic Beasley, you know, but I really don't think that's going to be, from when we've talked about Vic Beasley, his best days were pretty early in his career, you know, overall for the Falcons fans. Can tell you about his his career there and being a bit disappointing. I, you know, Matos is a guy that is at this point pretty raw, but how he works pretty well for the Titans' sake in a 3-4 defense. He can play either on the edge in a kind of a linebacker spot or as a defensive end. So he has that versatility. He's a massive dude that overall, just for their for what they're looking to do, I think he just fills a lot of different needs, and his versatility is a reason that I take him over the other edge guys that I've kind of discussed so far that could still go in the spot. But yeah, Gross Matos, again, not an unpopular or uncommon pick on many mock drafts. He's connected to the Titans pretty much anywhere you look as a guy they should at least look at.
Yep.
So to have him here, it works out well for them if they're not going to trade back to take him at the spot of 29.
Yeah, and then look, I mean, I think the Titans in defense, like, it's something where, you know, they're gonna go that route, I think, if they keep that spot. And so, yeah, we'll see the Titans there getting an opportunity to take a big player there that would help them on defense. It's an area of need for sure, and we'll see what happens there with the Titans. And that brings me to my pick at number 30. And this is one that, quite honestly, as I'm talking, I still have not decided on. But I've decided on the position, so that helps, right? You at least are in the position. And I think more than likely, and it's not just because I've seen him, you know, in this range in a lot of mock drafts, but I think about, you know, obviously Aaron Rodgers is the most important, you know, aspect of the Packers, and how can we help Aaron Rodgers? And I think a lot of people would point to wide receiver, because let's face it, outside of Devontae Adams, that was not the most reliable wide receiver unit in the NFL. And so I would not be surprised if the Packers were to take a chance here on a wide receiver, because we have to remember, you know, the Packers don't pick again unless they make a trade here. They've got a lot of late round picks, but they don't, you know, they have your normal five picks in the first five rounds. So they're going to be waiting quite a bit before their next pick, I think, is number 62. So, you know, they've got to make a move here unless they're going to trade up, you know, somewhere else in the middle there. So I think you've got to, probably knowing that this is such a deep wide receiver class, I think you've got to take a chance here on a wide receiver. And quite honestly, I think the problem is that there are so many different ones. And, you know, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing. But I don't really know. Like, I almost think it's a good thing for the Packers, because I don't know that they could really go wrong here if they decide to go with a wide receiver. And so there are a lot of options here. You know, probably it's been split on some of the guys you've seen go to the Packers maybe in this spot. You look around, I think guys like Denzel Mims from Baylor is one you see kind of around the spot. You look at really the rest of the board, and I don't know, like, it's a tough choice to figure out who's the guy that's going to go here at wide receiver. There are still some really good ones that we have on our board here, but I think I'm going to I've changed my mind a couple times here. I don't know if I'm going to go with this guy or not, but you mentioned Michael Pittman from USC before we started recording. He was one that was probably in the top three here. I think him, and I don't know, like, I think some of these others, but I don't think I'm going to go that route. I think I'm going to go with Brandon Ayuk from Arizona State. I just think that he's someone that I think Aaron Rodgers would probably love his speed. You know, we talk about playmakers, and really what I like looking at is the comps. You know, who is this guy like? And if you look at the Draft Network, which is it's an outstanding resource, by the way. I know everyone knows that if you follow the draft. But they do a great job with, like, the comps and all that. And one of the ones they have from one of their analysts is Cordarrelle Patterson. Now, we know that Cordarrelle Patterson, you know, he's not your 1,000-yard receiver type, but he's mm-hmm. that guy who can completely, you know, when he was at his best, like, he was someone who could just completely, you know, change a game at a moment's notice. And so I think because he has the ability to be so good after he catches the ball, I think Ayuk could be someone that could be very intriguing for the Packers. And what we're saying is, you know, how many of these receivers are still going to be there at number 62? And if the Packers mm-hmm. don't make another move, you've got to go receiver here, I think. And it's probably a choice between a handful of guys, which is probably pretty good for the Packers.
Yeah, I think the only guy outside a receiver that I really would have had a tough time passing on here would have been Kenneth Murray, given I still think they need to add a linebacker. But now with him off the board, yeah, receiver, like you said, there's a pick of so many guys that that we're not going to pick in the first round here in our mock that might go in the first round,
yeah.
Or at least, at the very least, early in the second round. So, yeah, in terms of how Ayuk complements Davante Adams in that offense, too, I think it's a great selection with Aaron Rodgers' arm. Obviously, his ability to kind of elevate the defense back, I think it works out really well as a deep threat on the opposite side of Devontae. They went for Emmanuel Sanders in free agency. There's a connected there. Ayuk, maybe not the exact comparable there, but in terms of a speedster that can really stretch a defense vertically, I think he will fit well in with the Packers. And, yeah, definitely outside of, yeah, like I said, Kenneth Murray, if he was still there, man, yeah. I mean, that would be really tough. And then maybe the Packers find somewhere higher to get one of these receivers a little bit earlier in the second round. But at this point, with him off the board, yeah, I think no reason to wait. And, I think it's a great fit for Green Bay's scheme. And I think Aaron Rodgers will definitely appreciate having another weapon.
Yeah, he's going to get a receiver here in the spot. I mean, if they don't trade down, which, again, I don't really know why they would, because their next pick's not till 62. But you would think with the depth at this position, I think the Packers will stay here. And, if there's not maybe an offensive tackle, I don't know. I mean, I can't. Like, some of the mock drafts, you see Josh Jones. I don't think there's any way Josh Jones is sliding all the way to 30 at this point. I don't see it. But, again, that's what happens in front of you dictates what you do. But I think the Packers are pretty safe bet to take a wide receiver. We'll see. That brings us to number 31, which is not the San Francisco 49ers, as it was originally when we started this draft. It is instead the Cleveland Browns, and this is something that we're probably going to talk about in our next episode. If you listen to our early episodes, we did make the decision, I think it was on part two, that we knew there was going to be one team that really wanted to trade up, and it sounds like now there's multiple teams, and we'll get more into that on the next episode. But we decided to let the 49ers be the team that traded up to number 10 with the Browns in exchange for their other pick, which is now sitting here at number 31. So the Browns have the number 31 pick. And now, you know, if you're Cleveland, we go back to number 13, which is where mm-hmm. they made that trade from 10 to 13, and now getting that extra pick here at 31. The Browns are they took an offensive lineman in that spot, so they're not going to go there in this spot. But Dylan, they have options, and I think that they probably have a pretty good option here at number 31.
Yeah, after obviously offensive line, that's partially why we traded back from them from 10, because there's just so many guys that kind of fit into what they're looking for in our mock draft. We had a bunch of teams trying to trade up to get one of the top three receivers. Yeah, like you said, if we could go back, we might have switched a different team into that spot, probably the Broncos. But nonetheless, for the Browns at this point, I mean, they have the 41st pick as well still. So there's a lot of things I think linebacker they still could address from here on out. But I think there'll probably be some guys in that spot that will fit well in for them. So it's safety is the other need. There's a lot of corners still left, but I think safety is a spot where they could really improve at this point. You'll see them kind of connected to Kyle Duggar and a lot of mocks in the 41 spot. Or possibly later early in the third round if he fell that far. But I think we have probably, in my opinion, the best safety in this draft off the board already in Xavier McKinney. So in this spot, it wasn't really too difficult for me. I figured, based on what they need and the actual players still available here, that Grant Delpit would be a great fit from LSU. We've been really heavy on these SEC guys, especially LSU and Alabama. But no, in terms of what the Browns need in their division too, you had Eric Ebron. I know he hasn't been fantastic in the last few years, but he's, you know, and has flashes of brilliance. Now you add that to Pittsburgh offense as a weapon. Obviously, Mark Andrews with the Ravens. This guy is one of the better, I think, safeties, probably the best safety available in terms of just man-to-man defense on tight ends. So I think that will be a huge get in this in their division with what they have to match up with. And overall, to solidify their secondary as a whole, missed tackles are the one thing you'll see in every scouting report with him that have been a concern. But at the end of the day, I think there's still enough there and where the match matches their need. And with this extra first round pick, again, if there's a chance that he could have fallen to 41. But I think there's with this extra pick here, there's no need to wait and possibly miss out on some of the team grabbing him between now and then. So, yeah, I think Delpit will be a good pick here. I know a guy that also, looking back to, if you looked at mock drafts, not that long ago, even going back to last year, there were some that had him in the top 10, top 15. So, his value definitely dropped with his performance last year. But I still think the Browns will make good use of him in this spot.
Well, you say we're going heavy on LSU and the SEC, huh? Well, we're not done yet. So, yes, there you go. An LSU player here off the board at number 31. And what do you know? There's going to be another one going off the board here at number 32. That is the Kansas City Chiefs. Just like I've said, I mean, I think I've legitimately said this with probably three or four of my picks here in the past 16, 17 picks maybe. I am running to the computer to dial this one in. If I'm the Chiefs sitting here at number 32 and this guy is still available, no surprise, it's Christian Fulton, because he's someone else. Like we say, you look at the mock drafts, there's been such a wide variety of where he could land. But the fact that he is sitting here at number 32, quite frankly, there are some people who believe that, like, he's as good as C.J. Henderson, who we had go to the Falcons at number 16, and he's someone we said could very well go much earlier than that, even to the Raiders, maybe at 12 or even higher. So if you think about it, if you're the Chiefs and the last pick of the first round and Christian Fulton is sitting here and this is one of your biggest areas of need, maybe your biggest area of need, my goodness. It's just like this draft is just a home run. For the Chiefs, if they get him at number 32, I think that is another one that's just an easy selection. So we start the first round with an LSU pick. We finish the first round with two LSU picks. That is the joy of being the national champions, I guess.
Yeah, no, Christian Fulton, obviously a great selection here for what they need. I think that only teams that like I said earlier in this episode, I considered him to the Vikings at 25. Like you said, there's mocks that have him going to as high as 12, other ones that have him falling early in the second round. So, yeah, his range is definitely being debated in terms of where he should fall. But, yeah, a guy that at the very least, I think the comparable that I've seen, A.J. Boye kind of set of skills that, if that's what you're getting at the very least, that's still an exceptional number two corner, can be a number one in some defenses if he has to. And yeah, for the Chiefs at this point, they're a team that obviously too can trade back, I guess. I mean, like you said, all these teams could, but I do think for them, cornerback is definitely, like, we're talking about some of these teams that have so many different needs. And while I do think there are some, in the interior of the offensive line is one part of where Kansas City could work on themselves here, but I think corner is clearly the one spot that definitely needs to be addressed. There's regardless of who's available, I think there's just so many different options for Kansas City that no matter how this goes, even if Fulton goes way higher, they'll have a great option at that spot. But yeah, to get Fulton that late, I mean, there's a chance that we're watching the 2020 season and Fulton's an absolute star for the Chiefs and everyone's like, how the hell did Kansas City, after winning the Super Bowl, get a guy like that? But there you go. Yeah, I think a great selection for them here.
Yep, so there you go. There is our mock draft for the first round of the 2020 NFL Draft, and we will revisit some of these in our next episode and kind of look back on what we thought maybe were some of our better moves, some of our moves that we would probably change. We'll probably focus more on those because we've talked about how good some of these moves at least look if some of these players get to this point. There are some ones we'll look back on, and we will look ahead and make some of our predictions or what we actually feel good about heading into the NFL draft, and we will see how wrong we are with some of those choices. But, Dylan, speaking of the draft, all kinds of draft stuff going on over Clutch Points here as we gear up for Thursday. Let everybody know where they can find all that.
Yeah, you can go to clutchpoints.com to the NFL section there. We have tons of previews for each team, and they're going over their needs and where they might make selections, where guys fit in the best. So, yeah, all of that can be covered. You can be found at clutchpoints.com, NFL section. If you search NFL draft, all of our draft articles will come up right there, as well as in the Clutch Points app in the NFL section there as well. So, yeah, no, definitely excited. Yeah, extra episode we're going to have after the first round this week. Definitely a lot more stuff we need to get together on the written side. But, yeah, it should be exciting. Definitely looking forward to having some, you know, we got the Jordan documentary now that's giving us some sports for, you know, once a week at least. But at least for this week, we'll also have the draft to keep us interested.
Yeah, for sure. No doubt about it. And it's going to be a lot of fun. And we'll see, as we said, which teams pretty much ruin everything with some technical glitches or, you know, who's the first to get hacked. That's going to be the real question, I think, of this draft. Probably so. So we'll see what happens there. But, yeah, check all that stuff out at Clutch Points. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any podcast app you use. And as always, thanks to the fine folks at Blue Wire and Bet Online for all that they do. And thank you, as always, for listening. And we'll talk to you guys next time here on the Establish the Pass podcast.